Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. We live in a world of tears and trouble, some of it of our own making. Pastor Gregory Seltz tells how Christ empowers us to endure the troubles we face.
Faith in Jesus doesn't promise an end to all the struggles of life this side of heaven, but it does offer restoration to real regret, reconciliation to real brokenness now and forever. Count on that and act accordingly as one who entrusts not just this moment to Jesus, but one who entrusts your eternity to the Lord who loves you with an everlasting love.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Today's sermon is the fourth in our series of messages dealing with the subject of regret. It's based on a text from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16. Now here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation and trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed in faith in his forgiveness and love. That's the power to endure and persevere in this world until we see him face to face. Amen. May 9th, 1926 was a beautiful day on the Ridgewood Ranch in Mendocino County, California. In fact, life was about as good as it could get for Charles S. Howard, the most successful Buick car dealer of all time. He became wealthy after taking a risk on this new technology called the automobile. For him, for his wife, and his son Frankie, life couldn't be better. But all that changed that fateful day in May, when 14-year-old Frankie got behind the wheel of his father's truck and drove along a narrow ridge to his favorite fishing spot. He swerved to avoid a collision, and he and the car tumbled into the canyon. The invention that had made Charles Howard rich now took from him the most precious thing in all of his life, his son Frankie. Can you imagine his grief? Can you imagine the tears, the second guessing? Should he have been more forceful in preventing Frankie from driving? Did his love for cars have anything to do with Frankie not fearing its power? What could he do now when something so precious to him was gone in an instant? The story doesn't get any better right away either. Howard and his wife divorced soon afterwards. You know, there are times when it doesn't seem to be any way back from a grief that is beyond despair. Have you ever felt that way? What happens when tragedy comes upon you in a flash? In Howard's case, it wasn't even his fault, but that didn't console him. If grief can overwhelm like that, what happens when the tragedy is your fault? What happens after the dust settles from the damage caused by your carelessness or your destructive rant that rips open emotional wounds or your illicit affair that only lasted one night? And what happens when you take full responsibility, seek repentance and forgiveness, and yet the pain, the memories, the destruction, they still won't go away? What then? That's the tribulation of this world, and that's what Jesus is talking about today. He's talking about living in this broken world of real pain and destruction, some caused by us, some that just comes upon us. But he's the one who says it clearly, "In this world you will have trouble, but fear not. Fear not. I've overcome the world." Wow. See, today we learn from Jesus the power of forgiveness for living a life of making amends, a life that can endure unjust suffering, a life that faces each day no matter what the day brings. You see, for the big issues in life, love and hope have to come from the outside in, not inside out. You see, for there to be real hope when we're helpless, it's got to come from someplace other than our best efforts. At least that's what Charles Howard learned after the tragic death of his son. As I said, he was probably the most successful Buick dealer in history. He was an entrepreneur, he was a risk taker, a pioneer, but none of that mattered after his son was killed. Charles Howard also owned, though, a horse named Seabiscuit, and that horse changed his life. Do you know the story? is the story of a broken man named Charles Howard, an unorthodox trainer named Tom Smith, an unconventional jockey named Red Pollard, and a horse that went on to become one of the greatest racehorses in American history. Seabiscuit, though small, was a fighter. A horse whose victories against all odds brought hope, even a bit of saving grace to people's lives that were really broken. It was an outside-in thing, a hope that came out of the blue to people who thought life was over. Red Pollard later said, "We didn't save Seabiscuit. Seabiscuit saved us." What a great story of real-life power to overcome adversity, to overcome trials of defeats, even of your own making. But if that real-life story moves you, I've got an eternally greater story for you today. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, real help and eternal hope from God comes outside in to offer you forgiveness, life, and victorious salvation in Christ. Nothing in this world can compare. Let me explain. You see, as moving as the Seabiscuit story is, our text for today is about so much more. You see, Jesus isn't merely talking about human perseverance through tragedy or even hanging in there by grace. He's not even talking about tragedy per se. He's preparing his disciples for trouble not because of their mistakes or lack of attention to detail or even trouble that just seems to come in this world. He's talking about trouble that comes even when you're doing everything right. He is speaking about their being persecuted because they are proclaimers of his good news in this broken world. Is there hope even then? It's ironic, isn't it, that being a public proclaimer of God's good news in Jesus invites criticism, persecution, and trial. Wow, what kind of world is this? What kind of people are we? Things must be more sinful than we can imagine, and salvation must entail the kind of justice and mercy and grace that goes to the very core of things, right? And maybe that's why when life changes on a dime, we especially need a relationship with this Jesus, trusting in his word to sustain us when nothing else in this world can. You see, Jesus puts tribulations and trials into his eternal perspective. He didn't come to make this sinful world a better place. He came to redeem it and ultimately restore it. He reminds us, yes, this side of heaven, life can change on a dime, yet God's grace and power is there even then, and God's grace and power will see you through it all. Jesus is laying it on the line. When this sinful, broken world full of sinful, broken people, when it breaks you down and brings you to your knees, that's the time to turn to him and to begin to rebuild your life in his victory for you. Jesus says it, "I have said these things, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation and trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." What an offer. But what an opportunity. What an opportunity to anyone who's listening today, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're up against, it's Jesus who's calling you to put your trust in him and know that he is with you. He'll sustain you. He'll bless you. He'll get you through this, and you'll glorify him. But you see, to come to faith in him means honest, repentant reflection about ourselves. No more unsustainable bravado. No more, you know, I got this. I can take care of this on my own. No more playing games in the face of soul-threatening tragedy. I love the sign an army chaplain had on his door. He said, "If you have troubles, come in and tell me about them. If you don't have troubles, come in and tell me how you do it." You know, that sign is funny because it's real. And Jesus is real today. He tells us not to fear because he knows that real fear is an honest response when you're overwhelmed by tragedy or despair. Real fear comes when you assess your capabilities and you find them wanting. Real fear tells us the full reality of the situation, but it gives us no solutions, no way out. But Jesus says the most incredible thing to our fearful hearts, "Fear not." That's incredible. "Fear not, even then, because I," he says, "have overcome the world. Put your fear away as you place your trust in me." In 1863, at one of the most dangerous times in United States history, when the whole country was being torn apart by civil war, at that point of overwhelming fear, Abraham Lincoln said something similar. He said, "We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched us and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace, too proud to pray to God, the God who has made us. In that same year, Lincoln officially established a national day of thanksgiving to God in the midst of turmoil, amidst his just punishment for the nation's wrongs. He hoped that a nation that turned back to God could be saved. But in our text, Jesus goes much further than that. He says, don't merely turn to God, turn to the God who is here in the flesh to redeem and to restore you. Don't turn to God and then try to save yourselves. Put your trust in me, says Jesus, the one who has literally overcome the world so that you might be saved now and forever. You see, faith in him is the power to face whatever you're dealing with today. If not power to overcome it, then power to deal with it, make the best of it, and be drawn closer to God in all things. The disciples in our text, they weren't ready for that kind of message just yet. They wanted a Jesus who would overcome their problems on their terms. You know, a Savior who makes life easy in this world. One who makes forgiveness easy without making amends or changing one's life. When Jesus said he had to suffer to die and rise again so that they might have life with God, none of them at first wanted anything to do with such a suffering Savior. But that's the only Savior who can save. That's the only forgiver who can forgive the eternal guilt of our sins. That's the only redeemer who can pay the eternal price to redeem us from the crushing debts we owe spiritually. And that's the only Lord who can empower you to endure what you're facing today. Jesus offers all of that, saying, turn to me, trust me, and get about the business of trying to live again. You know, one of the struggles that human beings often have after tragedy is the struggle of wondering how to make it another day. It's a struggle of wondering if there can be any purpose again in life. And that's where the Bible gives us even more hope in Jesus. Not only does he promise to be with us each and every day as the one who's already overcome the world, he can even promise that the greatest tragedy can indeed be used even for greater good, and that nothing in this world can separate us from his love. So our hope, even now then, is that all things are in Jesus' hands, and that's good news. He's the one who lives and reigns to all eternity, the one who's coming again to judge the living and the dead, the one who's already overcome the world in his death and resurrection. So when life overwhelms us, when it overwhelms you and me, we can be confident we can entrust our lives to him. When life challenges us, we can boldly say with the Apostle Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we have also been comforted by God. You see, such a confidence in Jesus amidst the struggles of the day, such a faith way of living life, means we can face what's ahead. But not with our resources alone, not with our broken dreams or our real fear. We will face today and tomorrow with faith in him, his promises, his grace. We will face today and tomorrow with the promises of a crucified and resurrected Savior who will be with us each and every day and bring to fruition a new heaven and new earth that finally overcomes all of this forever. In fact, with that truth always in our hearts and minds, we can actually face today's reality and tomorrow's challenges with an attitude of hope in him. You see, in him, tests and trials become avenues to experience and testify to God's continued care. In him, crisis becomes merely a challenge to see Christ in the midst of it all as our Lord and Savior. Consider what the Apostle James writes in his first chapter. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Incredibly, yes, even at the point of destructive change facing a fearful future, those who trust in Christ can even start to look at those struggles and opportunities, not only to grow in faith, but to grow in a hope that can be shared with others who might be struggling too. Now, the Bible never promises that you and I will have no trouble in this world. It does promise wisdom to put your challenges in God's eternal gracious context. It promises you the continued presence and care of your victorious Savior. And most of all, it promises that what you are now facing is only temporary. It's only a temporary struggle, ultimately giving way to God's eternal purpose and plan for your life. Such enduring forgiveness and grace allows us, even in the days to come, to face these challenges in His name, not only for ourselves, but to be humble agents of His enduring love for others. You know, today I pray that you are not caught in the midst of a life-changing tragedy or a life-altering mistake. Faith in Jesus doesn't promise an end to all the struggles of life this side of heaven, but it does offer restoration to real regret, reconciliation to real brokenness now and forever. Count on that and act accordingly as one who entrusts not just this moment to Jesus, but one who entrusts your eternity to the Lord who loves you with an everlasting love. You know, a letter written in the 3rd century, it sums it all up. It was written by a man anticipating his death, a man who lived at a time when being Christian and loving others in Jesus' name could actually get you killed. Listen to what he wrote. "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it all a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their own souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." That faith faced down the future. That faith not only changed his life, but the lives of millions. And that faith and its power is here for you today, because that faith is in Jesus and his enduring mercy and grace for you. Amen.
We sing the praise.
Listening to the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher here once again with Pastor Gregory Seltz. Pastor, you recently had the opportunity to spend some time with our military chaplains.
Yes.
Could you tell us what you taught them and what did they teach you?
I was asked to actually bring some kind of blessing. We had a 10-hour session, if you will. So it's like a class.
Okay.
But, you know, kind of what I did is I talked about I brought some experiences from my work in urban ministry about how when worldviews are colliding all around you, how can you not only be faithful, but how can you be encouraged? How can you have confidence to do your work? And so that was kind of my take. That's what I brought to them. And then as I shared that with them, you know, they brought all their experiences of what God was doing in their ministries back to me. And again, we were kind of mutually encouraged through the whole process.
Now, you have not been a chaplain yourself.
Correct.
So were you at all intimidated or challenged by what you would bring to the table?
Well, you know, every time you speak to anybody, you always want to make sure that you're bringing a blessing to them. And so if you've not served in their context, of course, that's going to be a challenge. One of the things I did notice is that my work in urban ministry and church planting, that was very much a similar kind of situation to what they were going through. Yeah, our contexts were different, but the fear was the same. And then the confidence that comes in relying on Christ alone in those areas really can be a blessing. So that's kind of how I approached it.
What did you find that was kind of similar, you know, to your experience and their experience?
Well, one of the things that you get right down to when a chaplain is working in the armed forces, they're really embedded with their people. Mm-hmm. And no matter what's going on around you, all the things that are swirling all around you, they still really are focused on how can I minister to the people that God has connected me to? How can I be useful in his hands to them? And just like a pastor, that's kind of your perspective too. And the only difference is they have certain limitations and certain challenges to their work that maybe I as a pastor in the field wouldn't have. But a lot of those dynamics are the same though too, because people have similar problems and similar issues.
And in your 10 hours with them, what sort of perspective or what did you want to bring to them?
Well, I wanted them to be confident in the fact that no matter what's going on, and they have some incredible challenges that I can't even fathom, you know, the kinds of places they've been in, the kinds of struggles they've been through with their people. But that God is sufficient to the task of working with them and serving others no matter what. And I think that's the kind of thing we all need to be encouraged with, because we're all sinful people. We all have struggles. And we need to be encouraged that God can still work with us, with others, in some of these incredible circumstances. And that was kind of, you know, bringing God's word to those kind of discussions was very important for them.
We've heard there's been a lot of social change taking place within the military. What kind of pressure does that bring to bear upon the chaplain?
Well, it brings a lot to bear on the chaplain, but one of the things that's really nice about this is that, you know, the chaplains are sent to serve from our perspective, too. Mm-hmm. And so, in some sense, the LCMS and its confessional integrity covers them as well. But it sometimes can limit them as to what they can do with a particular situation or not. They have rules of engagement, if you will, that they have to follow. But nothing that ever kind of impinges finally on their own integrity as confessional Lutherans in that particular field. But it is a challenge. I mean, because you think of all the crazy things that are going on in our world today. Well, those things impact how the military folks live together, work together, and even fight together. And so the chaplain has to be cognizant of all those things.
I should point out to our listeners that this program is also being carried by the American Forces Network and is available to our troops overseas and around the world. How else could our listeners maybe share a word of encouragement with chaplains and help them in their work?
Well, first of all, please lift them up in prayer, because they're doing frontline ministry and encouragement in our name for other people. The second thing is, I think, you know, even Lutheran Ministries and our work, we are encouragers too. We're trying to get that word of encouragement to the chaplains and to those they serve. So pray that we can get our job done too, because I think it winds up being a useful resource to keep them grounded and to keep them encouraged in their work.
Regrets, Reality, Restoration is the title of the companion booklet to our sermon series. Learn how God's grace restored King David and the Apostle Peter after their devastating failures, and learn what that means for you. For your free copy of Regrets, Reality, Restoration, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your prayers and gifts help us share that message directly through education and media, and indirectly by supporting congregations and church bodies in their outreach efforts. To learn more about the worldwide outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries, call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Together, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
will there ever be peace in our world?
Wow.
That's our question today for Pastor Gregory Seltz. I'm Mark Eicher. Pastor, we call Jesus the Prince of Peace. We confess that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him and that he is reigning even now. Yet there's still so much strife and brokenness all around us. What's going on?
Well, Mark, you know, I can hear the pain in that question, you know, the brokenness and violence of our world. It gets me down at times, too, I can tell you.
You can understand why people might become doubtful and disillusioned at times.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think you're right. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace and all these Christians are in the world as agents of his peace, where's the peace?
What does the Bible say about
it? Well, first of all, the Bible and Jesus himself never shrinks back from the reality of the statement. He says up front that he didn't come to bring heaven on earth. In fact, he says his kingdom is not of this world.
That's not a very hopeful start.
Just because Jesus' kingdom isn't of this world doesn't mean that his kingdom isn't in this world or that it doesn't affect this world. It merely states that the hope in Jesus is not for this sinful world merely to get a bit better. Our hope is in a new heavens, a new earth that forgiven believers will be part of because of the person and work of Jesus.
And it's that certain eternal hope that changes how we live here and now.
Yes, you know, believers, we can begin to live in the reality of what is true forever in Christ right now. So his peace, his justice, his mercy, his love, even amidst all the sinful realities of the moment. You know, we can live that way, and that way of living has brought times of peaceful change even to our world in general.
But it seems the chaos of the world always trumps the peace.
Well, it can seem that way, and I think that it's helpful to remember that there is a biblical distinction of how God is at work in all this. You see, God is at work ultimately to bring people to peace with him by faith in the person and work of Jesus. But God is also at work keeping the peace for people in general through institutions that God himself has ordained.
That sounds interesting. Tell me more about that.
Well, Jesus is clear about all this. He says, in this world you will have trouble. Why? Because the world is broken. It's full of sinful people. And even when sinners are blessed with good things, we find a way to destroy even the good that God gives. So for real change, we need to be at peace with God first and foremost. And that comes with personal repentance and faith in the person and work of Jesus.
That's our greatest need. And it's also God's greatest gift.
Right. And that's what the Prince of Peace, Jesus, is all about. So when people repent of their sin, sorrow over their sin, and receive God's gracious love and forgiveness, they do receive a peace that the world can't take away.
And I can see how that might change how they treat others, even their enemies.
Yeah, especially when their lives are also resourced by the power of the Prince of Peace.
But here again, that's where things can go awry.
Right, even for Christians, you know, we can fail to orient our lives towards him, then real brokenness and pain can reassert itself. And then for those who don't even trust the Prince of Peace at all, but instead try to do their sinful best, well, let's just say that's inadequate to the challenge. It's not going to overcome the chaos, sin, rebellion, arrogance, injustice, and downright selfish meanness of the world in which we live.
But God has an answer for that, too.
It's that keep the peace portion of his work in the world. There are God-ordained institutions and authorities who enforce not the heart of the matter, but tamp down those outward actions that destroy temporal peace. He does it according to his law. It's not ever going to be the ultimate solution, but it's better than the chaos that humanity can rain down on itself, that's for sure.
And in closing, how would you summarize all of this for us today?
Get to know the Prince of Peace by faith, and you'll see there's a peace in the world that surpasses all understanding. It's going to keep your heart and mind. And then start to act in ways that the Prince of Peace acts towards you. That can make a difference in your friendships, your family, and who knows, perhaps even in the neighborhood and community as well.
So by God's grace, acting graciously, we become his personal agents of peace in the world.
That's right. And then let's also pray that in our country, God is able to do more with folks like that, rather than having to work for those who must enforce the peace.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.